for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you have a Bible, please turn with me. Just share God's word with you for a time this morning. We've been looking at the book of Acts, going through the book of Acts together as a church, and just seeing what God will say to us through the word of God. And we're in Acts chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 51. Now, don't take this first verse too personally, unless, of course, you need to. And this is the speech of Stephen. Stephen is the first martyr, the first Christian martyr. And he gave his life for Christ as a witness in these days in the early church in Acts. And here we see him before a council. He's been brought before a court because he's telling people about Jesus. And some people don't like it when you tell them about Jesus. And so therefore he's been hauled before a religious court, as were many of the other apostles and other Christians too. And he has been told in no uncertain terms, you are before the highest authority in the land. Which of course, they weren't aware that there was a higher authority, although they will soon find out. And this is where, in his speech, in Stephen's speech, we get to this verse 51. It's coming to a conclusion. And he raises his voice and he says to these religious leaders, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those announced beforehand, the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now, obviously, Stephen had not read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People. And so the response from these religious leaders was this. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who'd of course later become the Apostle Paul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Isn't that quite a phrase at the end of such a violent death? The surprising phrase comes in, he fell asleep. And verse 1 of 8, and Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church. And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. What does the Bible tell us about this man, Stephen? Well, it tells us in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, he was a man full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 6 and verse 8, it says, he was full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs among the people. So here we have a man who is active in faith, powerful in the Holy Spirit, with great wisdom, a man of incredible faith, powerful in word and in witness, and God was using him powerfully in the early church. He is not numbered amongst the apostles. He was made, of course, a deacon, as we've seen already. But some people don't like that. And of course, there were some who rose up against Stephen and wanted to silence him. And verse 10 of chapter 6 of Acts says this, "But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." And so they got trumped up charges and brought him before this religious court. And verse 15 of chapter 6 says this, "When Stephen was brought before this court, everyone was absolutely transfixed on him because they saw his face was like an angel." Now, we have seen a face like an angel this morning. Look at Lily, you couldn't say anything other than she has the face of an angel. We could almost be twins. But there is such a countenance. Something came upon this man, Stephen, that his face began to glow, and it could only be described as the face of an angel. Something happened to him. And we understand that this is a man of God. He's in a difficult situation. He has come before a court of law. He is being charged with preaching and teaching and proclaiming the miraculous power of God. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him. This is the account of the very first Christian martyr in the history of the church. And because it's the first, there are significant lessons for each one of us that we have to pick up on. I want to look at three things quickly this morning. Stephen, his voice, his vision, and his victory. His voice, his vision, and his victory. You know, on a very basic level, each one of us have and has a voice. We use our voice. We speak words. We communicate. But Stephen had a voice that was beyond his own. It was beyond natural. It was beyond the utterance of sounds and syllables, beyond the mere mouthing of words. His words and his witness were owned by the Holy Spirit. His voice brought victory to the lives of many of those who heard the gospel from his lips. He had a voice. Isaiah tells us that there will be a voice in the wilderness, and that voice will transform the wilderness from a barren place into a bountiful place. It is nothing other than the voice of God. And Stephen, as he used his voice, he was like a voice in that wilderness, in that barren place, transforming it into a place of blessing, bountiful blessing, as God took up his words of witness and transformed many lives. Of course, it wasn't always like that. There are others who didn't receive the word. There are others who didn't accept the message of the gospel through Stephen. The same message, the same gospel, the same voice, but it brought fierce and vicious reactions from the enemies of the gospel. It's always going to be that way. Let me read. I read this last week. I'd like to read it again from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16, it says this, "But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are the dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. The same gospel, two very different reactions. It says in verse 54 that they were enraged. This is an interesting word. And it kind of harps back to Acts chapter 2:37, where Peter preached the gospel there. And it says this: now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Remember that? Where Peter preached the word, it cut people. And that word relates to a sharp stiletto, scalpel, that was used by the Spirit to pierce people, to finally cut their hearts open to the gospel. And here we have the same word, enraged. And it really means literally the same thing. It really means cut to the heart, but in a different sort of way. The word means to saw apart, to saw in two. And so there's a difference. They were cut to the heart in Acts chapter 2 with a scalpel. Here, these religious leaders are being literally rip-sawn apart by the words that Stephen was preaching. I don't know what kind of picture that conjures up in your mind, but it sounds to me like it's pretty brutal. His words had power. Think of a chainsaw and you'll kind of begin to get the idea. Their hearts were being ripped apart by a man wielding a power tool. And this was their reaction. They were enraged. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, we move on from the voice to the vision. He, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. In the midst of this situation, the pressure upon him, his life is on the line. And he is being surrounded by wolves, gnashing, literally gnashing their teeth at him. They're showing their true colors. Jesus said, yeah, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now they're showing it. They're gnashing at him, just like wolves do. And yet here we have Stephen's vision. He gazed up. And the curtain of heaven was pulled back for him. And he saw, verse 55, the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. These are one of the few times in Scripture that we hear and we read of Jesus standing in heaven. We read of Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father. He ascended and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It says in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, his radiance is the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He sat down. What does it mean that he sat down? It means that his work of redemption, of salvation, of rescuing sinners is complete. That's what you do when your work's done. You go home, unless you work in an office and you sit at a desk all day, you go home and you sit down in your chair, and woe betide anybody who's sitting in it, and you sit down on your chair. Your work is complete. You put your feet up. It's done. So when the Bible says that Jesus sat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, it's telling us that his work to save sinners is done. And yet, Stephen sees Jesus standing. Standing. You know, one of the things it tells us about, we understand at least about the temple, is that there were no seats in the temple. No seats for priests. No seats for people who worked there. There were just continual sacrifices, continual bloodshed for sin, continually on all the time. No seats for priests to sit down. Why? Because their work was always ongoing. It was never complete. It was never done. Because the blood of bulls and goats just couldn't take away sin. But he sat down. It is finished. It is done. And yet we see the vision of Stephen, and Jesus is standing. He stands from his place on the throne at the right hand of God. Why? And why does Stephen see this? This is Jesus standing in the very throne room of God, the courtroom of heaven. And the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And here we have a picture of Jesus standing before the Father, standing to intercede, standing to carry on his work of praying for the saints, asking God's blessing on the saints, interceding for the saints. The very moment that Stephen was in that earthly courtroom with no one to speak for him, with no one to defend him, at that very moment he was being condemned by those religious leaders, he was being commended in heaven. The righteous judge of the whole earth is speaking for him, interceding for him. And we use that term, don't we? He was standing up for me. We all need somebody to stand up for us. Nobody was standing up for me. I stood alone. Where here we have Jesus standing up for Stephen in the throne room of God. What a vision. What a vision. As Stephen is confessing Christ's name before men, he sees Christ confessing his name before the Father. Hallelujah. What a vision. We need that vision to fill our gaze. We might not see it. It might not be there for us, but we need to understand something. He is there for us. He is there because the Bible tells us that he ever lives to intercede for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous one, who speaks on our behalf, who stands up for us. Do you have somebody who stands up for you? Are you going to just take your chances before the courtroom of heaven? I would rather know the judge before I get to that court. I'd rather know the judge. And I'd rather know that that judge is not only a righteous judge, but he's the same one who came to this earth and took my sin upon the cross in his own body on the tree to bear my sin away. the same judge, the same one who I will have to stand before, the same judge that you will have to stand before one day. Make no mistake about it. The summons has gone out. There is no turning back. You will have to stand before the judge of all the earth. That judge paid the price for you with his own blood. I would not want to stand before that righteous judge who paid the price for my sin with his blood on a cross and say, I rejected you on this earth. I rejected you on earth. I didn't believe it. I wanted to live my way. I loved my sin more than I loved you or what you have done for me. Folks, now is the day of grace. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with the same judge who will judge, who shed his blood. And there he is standing in heaven. Jesus Christ, the great high priest, who forever stands in our defense. Finally, his victory. Stephen's victory. What is Stephen's victory? What do you mean, Stephen's? He got stoned to death. Where's the victory in that? One of the greatest victories that we can ever have in life is to forgive. Do you understand that? The greatest, one of the greatest victories that we can have in this life is to be enabled and empowered to truly forgive others from our hearts. Why? Because bitterness and unforgiveness will eat you up and it will lock you up. Stephen is being stoned. They're throwing rocks at him. Real rocks. They're cracking his head open, bombarding his body with stones. And he is crying out, forgive them. Lord, don't hold the sin against them. That's victory. It's victory to die in a place of absolute forgiveness. Have you ever thought of that? To come to a place where we will all die. Woody Allen said, I'm going to die one day, but I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. But he is going to be there when it happens. But to die with a heart that is forgiving and releasing and loving. Gift of God. Is that where you're at right now? Christian, is that where you're at? The victory is to die with a clean heart, with nothing on the slate, as it were. Stephen's victory is the victory of the gospel in his life. Is the gospel triumphing over your life like that? Is the gospel triumphing in your life like that? And Stephen's final victory is over death itself. Yes, he died like we will all die. But it wasn't a defeat. Later, that guy Saul, who was inspiring the persecution, later he would give us these words, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die, it's gain." If some people think the most awful thing that could ever happen to me is if I die. That's the most awful thing, the most terrible thing. If you believe that, you don't know Jesus. For to me to live, it's Christ. And to die, wow. It's gain. It's gain. It's not subtraction. I'm not losing my life. I'm gaining heaven. I'm gaining everything that Jesus died upon that cross to give me. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The voice, the vision, the victory of Stephen. With this, I'll close. You see, there's one other place in the Bible where it speaks about Jesus standing. And it's in Revelation 5:5-6. And it says this, "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David,'" that's Jesus, "'has conquered.'" He's conquered. In Revelation 5:6, "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, this time, standing as judge, standing as the one who will unfold the purposes of God, ready to go, ready to complete his work, that Babylon will fall. Christ will stand, and those with him will stand." Are you with him this morning? If you're not, you can be. In Christ, we have a voice. We have a vision. It's the Lamb. And we have the victory. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. The vision this morning, people of God, is the vision of Christ. Seated, his work is complete. Standing, he has other work to do. Let's know this, that our lives are aligned and submitted and surrendered to the righteous one. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you this morning for the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you've opened up our eyes, and yes, we have passed from judgment to life. Lord, we thank you that that same message goes out to each and every person in this world, the good news of the gospel, the good news that we can be free from our sin, so that we need not fear death, for you have tasted death for every one of us, Lord. And that we can see that heaven is open and not shut to us. Lord, we pray for every single person in this room. We pray that if they're not sure if heaven is open to them, then they will take seriously these words and the words of the gospel, and they will get themselves right with you, God, before they have to stand before you. Lord, thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We ask you for grace in our lives. We ask you for the power of your Spirit to be a voice, to have a vision, and to live in that victory that you have won for each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
And your love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.